Mention the name David Cronenberg to most movie watchers, and you're likely to get one of two reactions, either complete love or complete disinterest. He's had a very interesting career, starting out in the shock horror genre, and slowly but surely using his considerable talents to move over into more mainstream cinema. He was born in Toronto, Canada, and inherited musical and literary skills from both his parents. His mother was a piano teacher, and he played classical guitar until he was 12 years old. His father tried to interest him in the films of Ingmar Bergman, but he was more interested in Burt Lancaster films and westerns. He wrote short stories before becoming a teenager. The short stories were mostly science fiction and went hand in hand with a fascination for science, and especially the study of moths. He graduated from Toronto University in literature and began visiting film camera rental shops, gaining a knowledge of filmmaking. He wrote and directed his first feature, Shivers, in 1975. It tells the story of a remote and exclusive housing development on an island outside Toronto, where a science professor has been conducting experiments into an alternative to organ transplants involving breeding a parasite that will take over the role of diseased organs inside the human body. It's an ingenious premise. We follow how the parasite begins to spread within the community, away from the scrutiny of the authorities. It's fascinating to see how Cronenberg's talents began and is a must-see for any fans. Shivers ended up being the most successful film made by the Canadian film industry at the time. It very nearly didn't get made in Canada at all, due to unease about its subject matter. You can clearly see how some of the ideas for Alien came from it. In 1977, he made Rabid, starring Marilyn Chambers, known previously for her adult film career, and she plays a plastic surgery patient who develops a phallic growth and a thirst for human blood. This film gave Cronenberg international distribution, and his career was starting to develop. In 1979, he gave us The Brood with Oliver Reed as a psychiatrist with some interesting therapy for inner rage and Samantha Egger as one of his patients in a clinic. It was the first time Cronenberg worked with Howard Shore for the score, and it's a partnership that's lasted up to this day. An interesting tidbit from this film involves Oliver Reed, no stranger, of course, to exploits off the screen. Apparently, he bet somebody he could walk naked through the Toronto streets from one bar to another and was arrested by the local police. Cronenberg was going through a messy divorce at the time, and from then on, most of his films have plot elements to do with complicated family relations. Next came Scanners, one of my personal favourites in his work. Cronenberg takes us to a world where there are many humans with advanced telepathic ability, called scanners, but amongst them are individuals who have a desire to control the rest of the population. It's a great cat-and-mouse game throughout, and Patrick McGoohan plays one of the non-scanner good guys. Michael Ironside is outstanding as the demonic Daryl Revok. Howard Shore did a great job with the score too. Apparently, Cronenberg was writing and shooting Scanners at the same time, so that the film could be finished in time to qualify as a tax write-off, which is an extraordinary feat. This began a purple period for him, and what followed was a remarkable run of good filmmaking. Videodrome followed in 1983, in which he showed he knew how dangerously pervasive television was to become in the future. Debbie Harry stars with James Woods, who is Max Wren, the president of an adult TV channel on the lookout for the next big thing. Throughout the film, you are unsure what's real and what's in James Woods' imagination. Thank you. He followed Videodrome with an adaptation of a Stephen King book, The Dead Zone, and then a remake of a classic, The Fly. The Dead Zone is up there with The Shining as one of the very best King adaptations. It stars Christopher Walken as a schoolteacher who has a near-fatal car crash and wakes up from a coma to find he has incredible powers of premonition and insight into people's past lives. Martin Sheen is great as a power-mad politician heading for the White House, and there's a fine supporting cast of Anthony Zerbe, Tom Skerritt, Herbert Lom and Brooke Adams. Walken is on top form.
I'm the kid that saw the candy. I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. I'm glad I am.
So long, Sam.
I'm a real-life Yankee Doodle, made my name and fame and boodle, just like Mr. Doodle did by riding on a pony. I love to listen to the Dixie strain, I long to see the girl I left behind, and that ain't a Josh, she's a Yankee, by gosh.
Oh, say, have you seen
anything about a Yankee that's a phony? I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy, a Yankee Doodle do or die. A real live nephew of my Uncle Sam's, born on the 4th of July. I've got a Yankee Doodle sweetheart, she's my Yankee Doodle joy. Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the ponies. I am that Yankee Doodle boy. Father's name was Hezekiah, mother's name was Aunt Mariah, Yanks through and through.
Red, white, and blue.
Father was so Yankee-hearted, when the Spanish War was started, he slipped on his uniform and hopped upon a pony. My mother's mother was a Yankee, true, my father's father was a Yankee, too, and that's going some for the Yankees, by gum. Anything about my pedigree that's phony? I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy, a Yankee Doodle do or die. A real live nephew of my Uncle Sam's, born on the 4th of July. I've got a Yankee Doodle sweetheart, she's my Yankee Doodle joy. Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the ponies. I am that Yankee Doodle boy.
He followed this with probably his most successful film to date, a remake of the Vincent Price film The Fly from 1958, directed by Kurt Newman, who died a month after his version opened and never knew of its subsequent success. Cronenberg's version is more studied and offered more of a character study for Jeff Goldblum to deliver in the lead role.
Into the night, life is hell.
In Dead Ringers in 1988, Jeremy Irons played identical twins, Beverly and Elliot Mantle, who are both gynecologists. It's one of Irons' best performances as they share their women, until an actress walks into their clinic and their intensely close world spirals out of control. This film was the first one in which Cronenberg began moving away from special effects to show horror and use psychology instead. In doing so, he moved into the mainstream and reached a wider audience. Crash in 1996 was based on a J.G. Ballard novel about a survivor of a car crash who uncovers a subculture of scarred crash victims who are sexually aroused, presumably feeding off of the adrenaline associated with the crashes. It's called symphorophilia, apparently. Francis Ford Coppola found the film extremely distasteful and refused to give the special jury prize to Cronenberg when it was awarded at Cannes Film Festival. The film gained a notoriety and the publicity was huge. J.G. Ballard was full of praise, claiming the film went far further than the novel ever did. Bernardo Bertolucci called it a religious masterpiece. It really is a unique film experience.
Thank you.
In 2005, Cronenberg made A History of Violence, which took him into new territory. Viggo Mortensen plays a mild-mannered diner owner who unwittingly gains a reputation after foiling an attempted robbery. Ed Harris and William Hurt also star. This gets pretty close to a modern film noir, and it works. Although it's a well-trodden genre, the film is remarkably free of clichés. William Hurt was nominated for an Oscar for a 10-minute performance. Cronenberg shot his first film outside Canada when he made Eastern Promises in England. Viggo Mortensen again starred opposite Naomi Watts. The death of a pregnant Russian woman in a London hospital triggers a sequence of events involving the Russian mafia. Mortensen was nominated for an Oscar for his portrayal of a driver for The Crime Boss. The film is a violent thriller, but manages to be very subtle. Vincent Cassel is not to be missed in this one, too.
Oh,
Which brings us to Cronenberg's latest offering, released in 2014, and my personal favourite, Maps to the Stars. It tells the story of a well-heeled Hollywood family in Los Angeles, with John Cusack playing the analyst father, Evan Bird, who excels as the son, and Julianna Moore as an actress. Robert Pattinson plays her chauffeur. The story is a very dark comedy and does not disappoint. Evan Bird's performance is riveting as the child star who has been through the mill. In fact, the whole cast are very good together. How this film escaped any Oscar nominations is beyond me. I think Cronenberg completed his transformation into a mainstream director of substance with this film. That brings us up to date. I hear David Cronenberg is considering giving up directing due to difficulties in funding his work, which is a criminal shame, and I do hope he continues to surprise with his work. There are similarities between him and Dario Argento, the master of Italian horror, and also David Lynch, I feel. I do hope you can find the time to enjoy some of these films. It's not a complete list of his work, by any means, but I've selected the ones that encapsulate exactly what it is that's so singular about David Cronenberg. Thanks for listening.